going over the last number of Sundays here, Psalm 119, and we've progressed all the way up to verse 32, I think it is. Yep, verse 32, Psalm 119. And in Psalm 19, just by a little bit of review, we have the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's only fitting that it's on the Word and words of God. It's a chapter that glorifies this book, this wonderful book that we have. And these 22 couplets of 8 verses each one beginning with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so we're in the fourth one of those categories, and we stopped last week or last time we met at verse 31. So turn, if you would, to Psalm 119, verse 32, and we'll begin there. And Psalm 119:32 says, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Now, David is the author here, and we've already, he had already learned to walk back in Psalm 119, verse 1. Started off, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." So David walked in the law of the Lord. But there's also a lesson here for us. We needed to learn how to run. And we know that Scripture talks about running the race. And two passages there, 1 Corinthians 9, and we'll look at that passage first, and then we'll look at Hebrews 12. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. First Corinthians 9, 24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Verse 26, "I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Well, we know that the race is not a short race, it's not a dash, it's a marathon. That should be in your notes there if you've got one of Pastor's Bibles. It's a marathon, and we must not faint. We must run the race to obtain the prize. And if we don't, it talks about being a castaway. Now, a castaway has to do with God putting a man on the shelf. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but he puts you there where you can no longer be effective for the Lord. And that's what we all want in our life. We want to do something for Jesus Christ while we're still here in the flesh and in this body. We want to do something for the Savior. And then if you would look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. And the first four verses here. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then verse 3, for consider him. We ought to be doing that every day, every morning. Considering him. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The first battleground for sin is in the mind. First battleground. That's where we have to fight the battle. We have to be strong in the power of the Lord. And verse 4, ye have not yet resisted on the blood, striving against sin. So it's a lifelong race. We're not to shadow box. Paul says, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. We have an enemy. And he's like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He's a real enemy, and he's a powerful enemy. But he's a defeated foe because we've read the end of the book. We know where he's going to end up. But along the way, he's just trying to make as much havoc as he can. And we need to know how to run also in order to know when to flee. 2 Timothy 2:22, we're right there, pretty close. Second Timothy 2:22. And flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we need to know when to run away. And the best example from that we have in Joseph's life. Back in Genesis 39, when he was in his master's house, his brothers had sold him into slavery, and he was accosted by the mistress of the house while he was going about his business. In Genesis 39:12, and she caught him, Joseph, it says, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he wasn't talking about telling a lie. Lie with me. And it says, and he left his garment in her hand and sauntered off. That's not what it says. And calmly walked away. No. It says he left his garment in her hand and he fled and got him out. He ran away. So running, we're running to obtain the prize. If you don't know when to flee, brother, you'll never finish the race. And you'll never get the prize. And that prize is that well done, good and faithful servant that we want to hear. But he was going, Joseph was going about his master's business. We're supposed to be about the master's business. And he didn't want anything to compromise that. And his loyalty to his master. And along with that, his loyalty to his God. Notice what he said about that in verse 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, the devil is always looking for just a little compromise. He doesn't want him. He's not looking to make a big deal out of him. Just a little compromise. One of those little things. You know, if you live long enough, you'll get to that place where somewhere along life, there'll be some little compromise. And you'll think it's so small that it won't amount to anything. And then you'll find out it amounted to a whole lot more than you ever thought it would. And I've lived long enough to have experienced that and come out of that to know what that's like. So I'm talking to you from experience. The devil is always looking for just a little compromise. And that compromise is a potential gateway to great wickedness. God forbid. Let's verse 32, and we can go back to Psalm 139 and look at this next area here. Psalm 119. Did I say 139? That gives truth to that old adage. I got my tongue caught in my eye tooth and I couldn't see what I was saying there when I said it. Okay, and this is the Hebrew word he. It looks like an N. And we'll be looking at verses 33 to 40. And he means a lattice or a window. And it also means the numeral 5 in Hebrew. And for a lattice and a window in Scripture, look at Song of Solomon 2:9 for the lattice and Malachi 3:10 for the windows here. Song of Solomon. And for those of you who are good at finding places in your Bible very fast, please help the person next to you. 2:9. I got to start with verse 8 because this is a rapture passage here. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Verse 9, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. And then Malachi 3:10. When we were in South Holland and my wife was just had gotten saved not too long before that, and she was in a woman's Bible class, and she was still learning her way around the Bible, and this was Malachi. Malachi was Malachi. And she was in her Bible group. She said, you know, I was in there for about 6 months before they told me it was Sadducees, not Sadducees. Now that's true stories. Sadducees. Okay, Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And you know, God always provides. And I recall Lester Olof saying that everyone always says you can't outgive God. But he said, I haven't seen very many of them trying to. Okay. And there's a place in the Old Testament when Israel is under siege and they don't know what's going to happen. And I recall in there I've forgotten who that was, Elijah or Elisha, saying that tomorrow all these great things are going to happen. And he said, if God could put windows in heaven, could he make such a thing happen? Well, he did put windows in heaven. And the next day it happened, and they trampled him to death in the gate while they were going off to get his spoil. I think that was the king of Assyria. Psalm 119:33 says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. So the writer here is asking for instruction, and he's going the right place for it. If you want instruction for life, the best place you can go is for the Bible. And you go to the Bible first, that's the best place, and then the best thing you can do is take that advice, take what you find there, and put it into application in your life. So he's asking for instruction. Teach me, O Lord. And he's seeking here the way of thy statutes. I shall keep it unto the end. Now the statutes are multiple, aren't they? So that's not the statutes he's talking about, that it here, I-T, it. That's a singular word. So it didn't say, I shall keep them unto the end. He said, I will keep it unto the end. So this has to be the way, or the path, if you please, that he is seeking here. He's seeking a way. He's seeking a path so that he can glorify God here. And the way here implies a desire to please God. And it indicates reverence, respect, commitment to endurance and to faithfulness. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that must believe that he is, and he's the reward of those who diligently seek him. So if I were to try to put a name on the way here, I would call it the path or the way of obedience. Is not obedience the way of a blessing? It's a way of God's blessing. That's the first thing a family who has children, you really become aware of the importance of obedience. Now, you like to do what your supervisor wants you to do at work, because you're supposed to do all things heartily as unto the Lord to begin with, so you ought to be doing that. But sometimes we're a little loose on the obedience part. But we want our children to learn obedience because it's the way of blessing in the scripture. And the world we live in today is more Proverbs 16:25 that says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way thereof is the ways of death. And the history of the very nation of Israel is a zigzag path of obedience and disobedience. Obedience and blessing, disobedience and chastening. And that's the way it follows. We chasten our children, and that's because they have to associate disobedience with some sort of a result. And the result, when they're little, ought to be enough pain that it goes all the way from down there up here to the brain cells and sticks there. And a little switch. My mother was a master of that. She had four boys, and I was the oldest. And she didn't have my sister till I was in high school. So I grew up with all the manly skills my dad taught me and all the womanly skills my mother taught me. It was a pretty good combination, actually. But if you did something wrong, you knew what was going to happen. Go out to that peach tree and get me a switch. And if you brought a little switch back, you know, she'd say, you go back and get me a switch, or I'll go and get one. So you went back and you got her a switch that had some little meaning to it, you know. She's liable to go out with a chainsaw. She wouldn't have had a chainsaw, but take a limb off. But I got the message. Now, I don't think I ever got a spanking I didn't deserve. I got by with a few that probably would have been better if I'd gotten caught at the time. But that's just the way it is in life. You know? But you better, as you get older, and I'm talking to adults, I'm not talking to kids. The way of obedience is a way of blessing. And but God always, and going back to Israel here, chastening of God to bring them back to that place of fellowship and blessing. Look, if you would, at in Exodus 18. Exodus 18. And look at verse 20. Exodus 18:20. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. And that's always the way it is in life. There's a way you need to walk. There's a work you must do. The Christian has that. He's got that same assignment from the Lord. A walk, a way to walk, and a way to work. And for Christians, it's the way of obedience. And the way of obedience is the way of blessing. And it's the way of the cross that leads home. Sing that song. Luke 9:23 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. It's a daily thing. A daily thing. And follow me. And it repeats that same verse there in Mark 8:34 and Matthew 16:24. But it's a daily, and it's a daily battle. But the blessing side of it is God gives to each of us grace for the day, the daily grace. He doesn't give it to you for tomorrow or next week. If you make it through today and you're here tomorrow, he'll give it to you again. But you've got to follow him. You've got to honor him. You've got to be obedient. You know, your children do wrong, you correct them. They do wrong the next day, you correct them again, and you do that on and on to where either you wear them down or they wear you down, and that's tragic if that happens. That's the world's job to wear them down. And look in Psalm 119, verse 33, that last clause there, and he says, I shall keep it unto the end. Now, for believers in the church age, this is either until death comes or the rapture. Amen? But we don't get a vote on it. I know my vote already, but you know, the thing that is, that's a reminder of service and faithfulness there, brother. Service and faithfulness. You know, don't put off for the Lord today. Don't put it off to tomorrow. You may not have it tomorrow. Nobody has a guarantee. You know, there's not a, you know, I'm widowed now, so I got to be careful when I shop and I look at dates on cans and things. Never used to do that. But I look at that and I find that date. And I've been trying to look at the back of my feet now, see if I had a date on the heel here in that shower mirror. You know, do not use after, whatever that is. So you're here today. Let the Lord use you today. And that's like my prayer every morning. I just want to be a blessing to somebody today. Yesterday's blessing is gone. Tomorrow's isn't here yet. So it's today. You know, people talk about living in a moment. This is the moment. This is the moment. This is a glorious time this morning. Being in a church that loves the Lord, with so many faithful people, with so many blessings. That's as good as it gets, brother. It doesn't get much better than this here today. And looking forward to the services following with Pastor Dave. And so The more we can do now, the more certainty and glory. And that last clause there says in verse 33, I shall keep it unto the end. Now that probably has a connection doctrinally, I'm sure it does, with Matthew 24 and the tribulation period there where Jesus is talking about what it's going to be like on the end times, and he's talking about to them about the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And he talks about them fleeing, and he talks about he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Well, that end there is not the end of your life or life. It's the end of that period of tribulation. You can make it through that without either by fleeing or without taking the mark. Then that's where they're asking, what shall be the sign of thy coming of the end of the world? And in the book of Daniel, we find that phrase, the end, referred to 13 times in the book of Daniel. And Daniel is a great corollary to the book of Revelation, and they just really open up each other there. Psalm 119:34 says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So understanding. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And understanding is defined in Job 28:28, as if you look at that, book of Job 28:28, many of you know that verse. Job 28:28, and he says, unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and it's also understanding. Because the one who fears God has a firm enough grasp of the truth to know the consequences of disobedience. Right in there with the way of blessing, the way of chastening, disobedience, the way of blessing is obedience. Following the truth of God, because he said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And in Job, now Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and he's saying here in verse 28 that was said to man before Job. And unto man, that's, who's he talking about? God speaking, and unto man he saith. Unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And I don't know when that happened, but Job is, his time is very close to the flood. If we look at who his counselors were, so he's around Abraham's generational time there. And we have in Moses recording in Deuteronomy 4:6, we find wisdom and understanding in the same context there in Deuteronomy 4. And we've got a few minutes. Turn to Deuteronomy 4 and we'll finish up there. Okay, Deuteronomy 4, look at verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word that I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So, note here, verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. That's the biggest fault of the versions of Scripture. They diminish God's word. They add to it. They take away, subtract from it. They diminish it. And we have those three warnings in Scripture. The other one is in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. And then we have the third one there in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Three warnings in Scripture, placed at the beginning, one in the middle, one in the end, lest we should get it wrong. But they get it wrong every time because they want a copyright and they want to sell books. They care about sales and books, not souls and eternity. Revelation 22, 18, 19, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, how does he do that? I don't want to know. And I don't plan on experimenting to find out. Add thou not unto his words. Don't diminish his word. His word is true. Heaven and earth will pass away. His word shall not pass away. He says one little jot and one little tittle will not pass from this book until all things be fulfilled. And we're living in the fulfillment time here, brother. This is the time. This is the time when you want to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And we'll close in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for the day and thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come together today to worship you and fellowship with believers of like mind. And I just pray, Lord, for Pastor as he preaches later in the morning here, Lord, that you bless our time together and bless your word, Lord, that it not return void to you, but would accomplish that which you desire for it to do in the life of the hearer, Lord. We love you, Lord. Help us to love you more. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.